Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, American Airlines changes the upgrade rules, and a new study suggests passengers should be willing to pay to recline, or get this, be paid not to recline your seat.
At 3:20, we have updates on how to be a smarter Lake Tahoe traveler and a live update from Clayton Whitehead. He was at yesterday's Preakness.
In the studio with us today is Rob Stewart, host of Rob on the Road on KVIE Channel 6. And we have purposely left the back half of the hour open to talk to Rob about what's coming up on his show and what the experience is like hosting a weekly over-the-road TV show coming up at 3:35.
It's the Sunday before Memorial Day and the Big Sacramento Music Festival, and we have two pair of tickets to give away before the show is over. So glad you could take time out of your day to join us for another edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I got two tickets to paradise to blow.
To Alaska, I go north to rush you zone.
Lord, I want one in May.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
Welcome, 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 my friends. We are the Travel Guys. I don't know how that happened. Mark Hoffman, I know how that happened. Tom Romano, a wild guess. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And Mark, so good to see you. It's a fabulous Sunday.
It is.
Really a hot one here. I noticed that you and Rob wearing... Wearing the short boy pants there.
Yeah, we came in, you know,
or the short pants, not short.
The KFBK official Sunday afternoon attire, which is, you know, it's a great thing about radio is you don't, if you're on television, you know, you have to dress up, you have to have makeup and everything, but for this job, you just have to have a face for radio.
And there we go. And we qualify in that category
for
sure. Yes, sir.
Have you had a good week?
I did. It was a you know, on a whole a very exciting week. Got some great information that I brought back in regards to spending some time up in beautiful South Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
And we'll get to that a little bit later on in the program. And yourself?
I have been in Sacramento all week, which doesn't happen very often, but it happened this week, and I'm really quite pleased about it. I was pretty much a bum all day yesterday, so that opportunity doesn't present itself. I'm going to Washington, D.C. next week. We have Where in the World is Sports Leisure Vacations. We have groups today in Maui. Clayton is in Baltimore, still with the Preakness group. And we have a group in Croatia today. So, and a group headed for, Clayton comes home from Baltimore and the Preakness and then heads out a couple days later to Washington, D.C. And we'll have a group there over Memorial Day weekend. So it's a busy travel time for us right now, so I'm just hanging around home for a few days until my next string starts.
And how many days in the year, on a calendar year, in average, are you in town versus on the road?
Traditionally, it's been about 225 on the road and 125 at home, but we're trying to change that. As I told my staff, I'm trying to cut back and not work 80-hour weeks and just work 40 to 50-hour weeks. So we're well, so I would say half and half.
You're counting. You're actually counting those trips that you have to escort people on as work hours, aren't you?
People think that a radio show on a Sunday, you just come in and sit down and do a radio show. They have no idea that, you know, you have to spend 6, 8, 10 hours getting ready for 1 hour of, you know, actually 50 minutes of radio. So what do you say we get that going forward?
Let's get it going. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we do the travel news. With that, Mark Hoffman.
Well, don't want to hold this for too long because even the people who were in the studio raised their eyebrows when I said this. Passengers should pay for reclining their seats, suggests a new study. Two American law professors have potentially come up with a solution to this, you know, putting your seat back, not putting your seat back thing. They say that they have figured out that the average passenger would be willing to pay $12 to the passenger behind them to lean back. However, those sitting behind them would demand more before they gave up their legroom. They wanted on an average $39
So there's a $27 gap there.
Interesting. How about you? Would you give up $12 or whatever to let somebody recline, or would you think that was a real benefit?
No, no. Here's the flip side of this, mm-hmm. okay? The flip side shows passengers would cough up $18 to stop the person in front from reclining, while the person in front would require $41 in advance to refrain from putting their seat back. So you see where that is? The person it's the person who's not being allowed to, or whose space is being taken away, who wants more money. The person who feels like it, hey, it's my privilege anyway, it's not as, but anyway, according to this survey, people would be willing to accept, what if you could get on the plane and negotiate with the person in front of you, you know, and say, wow, you know, I really would appreciate if you not put your seat back, and say, well, you know, I really want to put my seat back. So, I mean, what would you be willing to give me to not do that? Well, I'd give you $10. It's a 3-hour flight. Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't put it back if you give me 15.
You know, why do I feel that if we went down that road, there would be more video shot of people having a tussle in the aisles?
I don't know where these two lawyers are. I'm going to guess because the way this story is set up, it lists the dollar amounts and then the pound amounts. So these guys must be in Great Britain. Yeah. They're both named Christopher. And this is a really bad idea.
That whole discussion could be an entire show. What else?
Speaking of bad ideas, American Airlines is changing the way they award upgrades. This doesn't really relate to you unless you're one of those people who flies American Airlines and occasionally is eligible for what are known as complimentary first class upgrades. However, I will suggest you that since American Airlines has made this change, there's a pretty good chance that Delta and United will be right behind them. What they've basically done is they have inserted into the upgrade list of how it's determined who gets to go first and second and third is your rolling 12-month elite qualification mileage doohickey number. So depending on it, what it comes down to is the guys who have traveled the most in the last 12 months will get the upgrade. So it's not a bad system. Hypothetically, the best customer is the person whose name is going to show up on the list. So what American Airlines has done is made a few changes to try to make sure that the best customer gets the upgrade. So if you're the best customer, you should be very happy about that. If you are the second best customer, your chances of getting an upgrade just went down significantly, I'm afraid. Canada is gearing up to introduce passenger handling standards for airlines. This is kind of amazing. Lo and behold, this could actually happen in our country. I doubt that. The airline lobby is pretty strong. But in Canada, they really only have two national airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So there's less clutter to get through. The Canadian Automobile Association, which lobbies for passenger rights, says it's too early to know whether or not the federal transport minister's promises of passenger legislation and controls will happen. But, you know, they have this in Europe. And if you don't, your flight doesn't go on time, or there's a whole lot of rules, and you can get compensated in a whole lot of ways from the airlines that you don't get compensated in the United States. And dare I say, the U.S. airlines, I know, do not ever want this to happen here. But it appears as though it could be getting a foothold in Canada. And if that happens, that would be a good thing for U.S. travelers because it would apply to flights to and from Canada. Mm-hmm. So if you were on a U.S. airline and something happened, they didn't quite handle things the way they were supposed to, they lost your bag, the flight didn't go for a mechanical reason, something like that, you might be eligible for some compensation. Speaking of airlines, there is going to be a new airport operation in the Seattle area. For many years, the Boeing plant north of Seattle, near the little town of Mukilteo, they fly airplanes in and out of there, of course, when planes are being repaired or when they're finished building them.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going to put a new terminal up. Alaska Airlines is starting next summer. They are going to have a round of flights every day from Payne Field, which is north of Seattle. They have not announced the destinations yet, but they are likely to be regional destinations from that airport.
There we go.
If you fly to the Seattle airport, you know that it has gotten tremendously overcrowded in the last half dozen years, particularly since Delta has shown up in town. The historic Orangevale Avenue Bridge is having a ribbon cutting right here in town. Why would this be on a travel show? Because you get over the bridge in a car, and that would be travel. The Orangevale Bridge at Greenback Lane and American River Canyon Drive. The grand reopening of the historic bridge is next Saturday, June the 3rd. Actually, that's not next Saturday. That's two Saturdays, June the 3rd at 10 o'clock in the morning. So if you are a historian or somebody enjoys things like that, the bridge has been closed for a year. and they are going to reopen it next 2 weeks from Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning. Airlines are making it tougher to find frequent flyer seats. A survey shows that airline seats, that free seats are only available on 72% of flights they checked for this summer. That's down from 76% last year. Here is a really important piece of news, Thomas, if you're a burger fan.
I am a burger fan.
When you travel, do you eat burgers?
Always.
That makes this a travel show item then. These crazy people have decided that after a couple of years of finishing second, that now Five Guys Burgers is now the new greatest burger in the country.
Five Guys Burgers and
Fries. Which is five piles of hooey, if you ask me.
Oh.
They displaced In-N-Out Burger, which had previously held the number one slot. Shake Shack is third. That's an Eastern chain or in and around New York. Wendy's, Culver's, Midwest. Whataburger, Southern California. McDonald's. Sonic, middle of the country. Smash Burger, Southern California. Steak and Shake, middle of the country. In order. How In-N-Out? Now, I did my own survey this week. Drove down Sunrise Boulevard.
Right.
Looked at the In-N-Out Burger there at Sunrise after you get off the freeway. There must have been 20 cars in line.
Sure.
There were probably 20 people inside the restaurant, and there were probably another 20 people in their car outside the restaurant.
Always
eating stuff
at In-N-Out, yeah.
I drove past Five Guys. There was no one, not a single person in the Five Guys.
Well, it's pretty new.
Which doesn't have a drive-thru.
No, it doesn't.
And so I have decided that this is a bunch of hooey.
Well, you know, it's to everybody, as my mama used to say, this would go back to the Mother's Day thing, as my mama used to say, everybody to their own taste, said the old lady who kissed the cow.
Wow. Okay.
So I mean, you know, so one person's in and out is
you wonder why we don't wonder why guys. Tom doesn't talk more on the program. Now you know.
Have you tried the Smash Burger?
I have. I think they're pretty good, but In-N-Out is my favorite. And you know, the fact that In-N-Out only sells burgers, fries, and soft drinks and shakes, which is a lot of the old McDonald's business model. You can go to some of these other places. You can get a whole variety of stuff. If you go to Five Guys, you got to either want a burger or you can get a cheese sandwich there if you know how to order it. But it's to me, that's a sign. I mean, they obviously have a product that people like. And to suggest for even a minute that Five Guys, A, has a better product or B, is more popular is just horseradish as far as I'm concerned.
Horseradish, ladies and gentlemen.
I have some other things, but I'm out of time. And so that's your travel news for today.
All right. Coming up, got a lot of stuff to do. Later on in the show, going to give away two pair of tickets to the Sacramento Music Festival next week. Rob on the Road joins us right after the bottom of the hour, but coming up next, we'll have Clayton Whitehead's at the Preakness, and Tom Romano is going to give you an update on how to become a smarter traveler when you visit South Lake Tahoe. That's next on The Travel Guys. We're the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, I noticed you were talking about what you were wearing today. This is the first time I've seen the Butler County Donut Trail t-shirt.
Awesome,
baby.
We went there. We went there when we went to Cincinnati. Hey, Tracy is on the phone right now from Ohio from the Donut Trail. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I'm pretty good. So, Tom, we went back on the Donut Trail. And, you know, we talked about it on the radio. So we went back and visited a couple of donut stores. Free donuts for the guests from California. We weren't allowed to pay where we went.
Oh, my gosh. Tracy.
And we were all given these wonderful shirts, which are actually very nice t-shirts.
It's a nice looking shirt. It would look better on me.
You know, Tracy was telling me that they got, what is it, Tracy, that you got 50 of these? Figuring you would give away 50 and you've given away 6,000?
Yeah, when we started the Donut Trail, we ordered 50 shirts. Clearly, we didn't know that we were giving the world something it needed.
There you go. Huh?
Tracy, I have to tell you that when I first read this, I thought to myself, and remember, I'm a tourism guy. I thought to myself, that is one of the dumbest ideas I've ever heard of. And then I thought to myself, well, except that I like donuts and I'm interested. So maybe it's not such a... And I have to tell you, Tracy, all the sports leisure travelers who were with me when we were visiting the donut stores, they were all pretty much in heaven.
I mean, it's a canvas for infinite creativity. Who doesn't love a donut?
Honestly, you know, when you stop and think about people who go on wine tours, you know, wine tasting, I mean, come on. What's better than probably wine tasting? It have to be donut tasting.
So, Tracy, on behalf of all of our travelers who went back and we suffered through miserable weather and watched the Giants get absolutely creamed 4 games out of 5, the donut shirts were really one of the highlights of the trip. For those who are listening on the radio and might not have any idea what we're talking about, tell folks quickly where the donut trail is in Ohio.
Sure. The donut trail is in Butler County, Ohio. That's just north of Cincinnati, just south of Dayton. You visit 10 donut shops, and we give you a free T-shirt when you finish. So it's a lot of fun.
Isn't that really awesome? If you're from California and you're a special guest, you can get a T-shirt when you only visit 2. How about that?
You know, some people will takes them a long time to explain what their business is like. She did that in about 15 seconds.
About 15 seconds. Wasn't that beautiful? Don't you wish that everybody who comes on the radio could
do
that?
You come to us, we go to 10 donut shops, you have donuts, you get a T-shirt.
It's the Ohio Donut Trail. It's Butler County, which is between Cincinnati and Dayton. If you are going to that area and you like donuts, you can very easily find them on the internet, and you don't have to go to all 10. You can pick out one, but my warning to you is they held donuts for us at each store because we didn't get there till 9:30 or so. Mm-hmm. People start this, Tracy, right? People start doing the donut trail like it's 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, some are even earlier than that.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
The donut shops sell out, they close.
As soon as they're done, that's it. It gets picked over. Tracy from Butler County, thank you so much for coming back to the Travel Guys and telling us a little bit about the donut trail in Butler County, Ohio. That was really a fun thing. We have another phone caller here on the line. Mr. Clayton Whitehead joins us to talk a little bit about the Preakness. Clayton, you were at the big race yesterday.
I was. Hi, Mark and Tom. How are you guys doing?
Good, sir.
We are in Baltimore, Maryland, and yes, indeed, the Preakness was yesterday, and it was an exciting day at the races.
So you've been to the Derby, and now you've been to the Preakness. I know the Derby is an unmitigated zoo. Was the Preakness a little more organized? If folks were thinking of spending a lot of money to go to one of those races, which one should they go to?
Well, I certainly get it that the Derby has a lot of sizzle attached to it, but I just have to say the Preakness was a wonderful event. It was human scale. There was room for everybody. The food was great. The libations poured freely. But you know what? I had the feeling that everybody was there for a day of racing. Even though in the seating area where we were, beer and wine was included, I didn't see a single person who was over the top. No one drank too much. Everybody was ladies and gentlemen. It was just really a lovely day. Though I have to confess, my betting, if they paid for fourth place, I would have done very well yesterday.
Clayton, do
six
people...
Six races in a row, I bet on the fourth horse.
Now, Clayton, you got to tell me that with your group there was a horse called Senior Investment, who was the show horse. And some of your people... And you should have grabbed that as a show band.
Did
well, you know what? I let Senior Investment slip through my fingers, but I did have a bet on Classic Empire, who came in second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm conservative when I bet. I always bet the horse to show, and that way, if he wins places or shows, I get a bit of a return.
Now, Clayton,
my $20 on Classic Empire, I got $60 back, so I was very happy.
Do people wear the hats and stuff at the Preakness like they do at the Derby?
There were some. I should say it was overcast all day yesterday, and even though hats have certainly become a fashion statement, the real reason you wear a hat is from protection from the elements, because it's a long day. But it was overcast yesterday, and the weather report said that it would be all day. I suspect some people who were 50-50 on hats probably left it in the back seat of the car.
All right. Well, Mr. Whitehead, we'll let you go. You get your rear end home because you have some Sports Leisure Travelers who are waiting for you to take them back to Washington, D.C. later this week.
Absolutely. I'll see you in the office Tuesday.
All right. Thank you, Clayton. Clayton Whitehead joining us from the site of the Preakness, which was run yesterday.
I thought it was across the street there at Cal Expo.
You went to Lake Tahoe this past week,
and you
have some things for folks here.
I do. If you're planning on heading up to Lake Tahoe, now remember, there's a lot of construction going on along Highway 50, and some repairs, really, from some of the roads that gave way with all the floods that we had. So, allow yourself a little extra time. Not so bad on the weekends, because they stop the construction for a while, let the people get up and down the hill. But you will get some some activity there just west of Strawberry. And if you're looking for snow, everybody's talking about all the snow that's up on the hills.
Still up there?
Yeah, but it's, you know, not alongside the road like it used to be. That's just mostly muddy snow. Your best bet is to get into Lake Tahoe and take Kingsbury Road up to Kingsbury Grade up towards the Heavenly Side on the east, and then there's still a lot of snow that you can see up there and get into. If you're looking, I found this kind of interesting. There's where the old Sahara used to be. It's now the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
Uh-huh.
But if you're looking for a Hard Rock Cafe, it's not in there. They don't have one. They got
it's the Hard Rock Casino, but there's no Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah, they got an oyster. Their oyster bar is the most popular thing. Go over to Harvey's, because at Harvey's you will find the Hard Rock Cafe.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
I know it doesn't, but that's how it is. When you head into Tahoe, before you get into the state to the state line on both sides of the road that's still in the California side, been a lot of construction on the left as you head in. Most of that is now done. Brand new shops. All wood, you know, cabin-y looking.
So this is out by Myers and all in that area out there.
Well, no. Close to the state, to right on the state line.
Oh, okay.
In the last quarter mile.
By the where the fruit inspection stand is there.
Past that as
past
well.
Past that even. Wow.
Close, literally with the last quarter mile before you cross the state line.
Okay.
Right there at Harvey's and Harris. But there's a lot of new stuff going on. A lot of people think there's not much to do in Tahoe, but there's the lake cruises. You can actually do a gondola. You can do a gondola on the lake. Of course, they've got horseback riding at Zephyr Cove. How about a balloon ride? Done a balloon ride at Lake Tahoe?
Wow.
Actually takes off from a boat. Truckee River rafting, don't fall in. The water is ice cold. They got all kinds of stuff in a science center. And then you can go over to Carson City. And of course, the Lake Tahoe castle tours. There's so much to do.
Coming up after the news break, Rob Stewart joins us to talk a little bit about Rob on the Road. That was the Tom Romano 2-minute Lake Tahoe travel. Whew.
Ding, ding. I don't think you have enough brochures there, Tom, but I love Tahoe, so it's all fine by me. Yeah.
They're all yours.
Thank you.
We are the Travel Guys. We're back after the news right here on KFBK.
On the road again.
We're on the road again, Travel Guys Mark and Tom, and special guest Rob Stewart, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Before we get on the air with Rob, let's see, we got some Mark tidbits.
Some Mark tidbits. Did you know, this was on Elliott.org, you know, our, where we send people, because it's like the best travel advocacy site if you ever have a problem. That's where you want to go, Elliott.org. Chris Elliott runs that. This is really cool. This is a lady who... She was on a Frontier flight, which it really doesn't matter what airline she was on, but they told her there was going to be a 2-hour delay, so she left the gate, and she went to get something to eat.
Pretty
and
common.
And she went back to the gate an hour before her flight was supposed to leave, and they had just closed up the door, and they were leaving, and she got shut out, and she didn't get any compensation, and so she was trying to get some help, and basically they just told her that, you know, gosh, so if you're in the moral of this, to be a smarter traveler.
The word to the wise.
Is that if you're in the airport and there's a delay, or if you're not in the airport and they tell you your flight's going to be delayed 2 or 3 or 4 hours, you best keep an eye on it, because if they decide to switch airplanes, or your plane had a mechanical problem and they get it fixed earlier or something, and that plane leaves earlier and it leaves without you, you're not going to get any compensation. So just that's just a little tidbit to be a smarter traveler if you're on a delayed flight in the airport.
Well, there you go.
So joining us here across from us is Mr. Rob Stewart, who is mostly known to folks around Sacramento, I think, as Rob on the Road. And how long has that show been on KVIE now, Rob?
I'm so glad to be with you guys today. Just, you're so much fun, so it's great to be here. 9 years.
Wow. So you're practically an old guy now.
I am an old guy. My driver's license will prove it.
9 years. How did Rob on the Road get started?
You know, I moved here from Philadelphia.
Okay.
And I moved here to work for the show California Heartland. And that went, we call it hiatus.
Hiatus.
Yeah. And so we created the show at the station. I pitched a TV show that did not fly. Okay. And they said, no, but how about Rob on the Road? And we did it. And it's a travel experiential show that just captures California. Yeah. It's so much fun to go to places and meet the people and places.
What was the idea that I can't even imagine, Rob? You're so creative that you had something that didn't fly. What was the
Well,
can you share?
I'll be quick about it. It was just, we were looking for an interstitial, which is a short segment type program, and it was going to air between shows, and it was spotlighting interesting people in the region, and I was going to call it Ray of Light, but anyway, that didn't work.
What did you call an inter what?
Interstitial.
An interstitial?
Yes, it's a segment between shows.
Wow, I know somebody
went
to the doctor and had to get one of those, and it took them 2 weeks to take it out.
And you go up to Scar.
Yeah, exactly. So you talked them into it. So Rob on the Road, and now 9 years later.
Well, I didn't talk them into it. They came. They said to me, "How about Rob on the Road?" Uh-huh. They pitched it to me, and I said, "Great."
Right.
And it was a segment. They were short segments at the time. We grew it. I pushed hard and grew it into a 30-minute show. And now it's a weekly show, Monday nights at 7:30, and it's so much fun to travel around and meet people, and the people of this state are what's so cool. It's also the places.
I think one of the things that makes your show so entertaining to me is that we probably share this in common. In fact, I was just writing an article for our newsletter before I came to the station today about the joy of discovery, about going out, and people say, after 38 years in the travel business, what is it that still makes it interesting to you? And it's going places and finding things that I didn't know existed and meeting the people and hearing their story. Chris Galloway, one of my staff, likes to say that everybody has a story. And whether they choose to share it with you or not, but and most people's stories are a lot more interesting than they think. And so when you go to these places and you get a little bit off the beaten track, or you go behind the scene, you don't even have to be off the beaten track, you just have to go behind the curtain and find the people who really put the stuff together. And to me, that's the best part of travel. And I kind of sense to you that's the same thing. That's what comes across in your program, is that when you're out there and you're finding all these things, that you're having a good time finding them and telling us about them.
I love that part. I love the not only discovery of the place. By the way, many times they're right in your own backyard and you've never been.
Exactly.
Like we just did Sutter's Fort last week. I've never been inside of Sutter's Fort. It's about time.
You obviously weren't here as a fourth grader.
No, fourth grade. Yeah, where you learn all about state history.
Fourth graders in Sacramento go to Sutter's Fort.
The whole state.
Pretty much.
So I also love discovering the people. And not only does everyone have a story, but I want you to tell me your story. Mm-hmm. And when a camera's rolling or you're on the radio and you ask someone to tell you their story, they're going to tell you. And they will tell you exactly what you want to know. And it's so beautiful to see the evolution of people's stories and how everything they've been through leads them to a place in their lives. That's something that I find a human common thread, is that everybody you meet tells you their broken parts and their successful parts.
Isn't it interesting that some of the people who have the best stories think that they have no story? I mean, sometimes the people, you have to pull it out of them practically, and you find out that the guy on Route 66 who has, he bought two rabbits for his daughter when she was in high school because she wanted pet rabbits. And of course, he wasn't smart enough to buy two males or two females. He bought one of each, which you probably know how this story develops.
Well, they are rabbits.
Exactly. And
is this the rabbit farm?
The rabbit ranch,
Ranch.
The man owns a title company, and he still owns a title company in a rural area in Illinois. And all these rabbits have propagated and stuff. And he now has in his office probably 30 or 40 caged rabbits. And if you go in, one of the rabbits will sign an autograph, which means bite into a postcard for you. And
be sure to tell Rob what is actually going on at the rabbit ranch.
You can imagine. I bet that place is hopping.
Oh my God. Oh God.
We could go all day.
He has the front half of all these VW rabbit cars that he sawed off, because out in Route 66 in the middle of nowhere in Texas, they've stuck some Cadillacs in the ground and you can go by and paint on them and stuff like that. Been there for years. So he has half of these Volkswagen rabbits. That's his answer to the Cadillacs. And he moves them around his rabbit ranch from time to time. So
upside down Volkswagen rabbits stuck in the ground.
But that's just an example of... Somebody told me to go talk to that man one day.
We digress.
And so when I did, it's like, this is a fascinating story, and people can come here and they can get their postcard autographed. And where else can you get a rabbit to autograph your postcard? I've never seen any other place anywhere in the country.
And you said Cadillac, and I thought you said something else the first time. I thought you said they stick their cows in the ground.
No.
Cadillac.
Cadillac.
And I'm thinking, how do you paint on a cow's blank?
No.
But you said Cadillac.
Cadillac, yes.
Okay. Took me a minute. I'm like, I had to catch up.
I can see that, yeah.
Yes. So for the last 9 years, you've been running around mostly Northern California. Does the show ever go outside of California?
Oh, absolutely. We not only do we basically immerse ourselves in Northern California, mm-hmm. but we go to Southern California, the coast, as well as the mountains. We are mountains to coast. We are all over. And then we distribute the show nationwide through our PBS sister stations.
So yes. I could be in another city and I might see Rob on the road?
And guess where they air the most?
No idea.
The Northeast and the Southeast.
Really?
Yes, they just really... you do something on California and the nation is interested mm-hmm. because there are more travel places in this state than any other state in the country.
I can see that. For
big
years,
time destination.
For years when I went back to the Midwest, I have a lot of my family in the Missouri area, St. Louis, Kansas City, and I was always a celebrity because I was the member of the family from California. I could never figure that out. But it was always like, you know, they wanted to touch you and they wanted to hear what you had to say. I mean, you know, it was kind of bizarre. It doesn't exist that way as much anymore. But for many years, it was. So I can kind of see that where there still is, especially the wine country.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Still has a huge aura attached to it that and people are still discovering it, which is one reason a hotel room is $300 in the Napa mm-hmm. Valley, but in Vallejo you can get one for $129, you know. So you just
But the coast has that much draw to, and so do the mountains, and it's something that everybody has a California story or a California dream of where they want to go.
What's your favorite part of California?
Oh my gosh. You know, I have a different favorite part every season, even though we really don't experience the seasons that dramatically here. But I have to say I am a coastal guy. I love the coast. Particularly
north coast.
Particularly north of San Francisco. I can go there and just lose myself completely. I also love to go up and hike in Auburn. I also love to experience the rivers here.
So you're an ocean guy, but not necessarily a beach guy.
I love both. Okay, absolutely. I don't like going out too far in the ocean though. But the beach is a lot of fun. Right on the shore. Yeah,
if you go very out far on the Pacific Ocean, mostly what you get is seasick.
Be gone. Yeah. And we did that. We went whale watching and we had a really hard time trying to find
the
whales.
To the Faroe Islands?
We headed out there and it was so bad we had to turn around and come back.
We did that a couple of times from Sports Leisure Vacations years ago, Tom. We took folks because we want to go whale watching. We want to go whale watching.
Sure.
You know, about it, they call it the barf cruise because it's pretty common that it's very rare to go out and come back and not have somebody having lost it along
yes,
the way.
That
and
would we be saw me. That.
And frequently it's not just one person, but like a couple dozen people. So we tried it a couple times and then we decided that, you know, there was really no future in taking people out to get sick in the ocean.
Well, some people throw up at the sight of someone doing it. So it's a ripple effect. So I saw four people in a row puke over the side of a whale cruise, and it was disgusting.
Oh, my gosh.
And the wind's blowing, so I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. How'd you do?
Okay. I did not do well.
Okay.
Our guest here on the Travel Guys is with Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano is Rob Stewart from Rob on the Road at KVIE. We're going to talk more to Rob when we come back. Also, we have two pairs of tickets to the Sacramento Music Festival. We've been sitting on here for 45 minutes. Take them out of your pocket there, Romano.
Okay.
That you can win. If you just hang around here for 15 more minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get those. So we are the Travel Guys on KFBK.
You can travel by road. You can fly by plane.
This is our old buddy Marcus Mio, Tom. He sent me a new song.
No.
Yes, yeah. He sent it to me, and I would have brought it in today, but I thought maybe that you were going
to
be up in Tahoe.
Have anything to do with traveling?
It doesn't have as much to do with traveling, but it has to do with the reason people travel.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of a spiritual sort of thing, kind of like his travel song. So anyway, we will debut it on the Travel Guys next week. Our guest here on the Travel Guys today in studio with us is Rob Stewart from Rob on the Road. If you have watched him on KVIE on Monday nights at 7:30, I can... proudly say that Sports Leisure Vacations has been a sponsor, and they don't call them underwriters anymore. I think they call them sponsors.
We're glad to have you, by the way,
of the program, and we've been involved in public television for a long time. We'll talk about that in a minute. You had an opportunity to do a program with a lady who is really an American icon, and I've seen this show probably more times than any of the other ones that you've done for some reason, Betty White. What was that like?
She was amazing. We were at the Sacramento Zoo, and she was there to talk about her love of animals, but we really got her to open up about a lot of stuff. It was right at the time when she had this huge reemergence. You know, she had the Super Bowl commercial. She had a film coming out with Sandra Bullock, and she was just really excited about her career. taking flight again, but in her, to her, it never stopped because everywhere she goes, she's Betty White, right?
Yeah.
But it was just very different to see her acting again. And she said it's so much fun to get back to that. She still talked about missing her husband, who has been passed away quite a years ago. She talked, she's got a mouth on her that is very clean and dirty, if you will, at the same time.
That doesn't surprise me.
And let's just say when we were miking her, it was really interesting the things that she said that were, she said them so clean, but they were filthy. And she can get away with it at 90.
Well, exactly, 95 now.
Yeah, and this was several years ago. Yes. You can say whatever you want
She
to.
Just keeps on ticking.
She's like, can do a smile.
She's like the Ever Ready Bunny. Tom, you had some questions for
yeah,
for
okay, well, let's see here. Of course, my phone just closed on me, but I'm going to ask some questions to Rob here, kind of rapid fire, kind of things that I know our listeners would probably want to know of just about any celebrity. Rob, okay, here we go. Favorite animal?
Oh, my dogs. I have one that sleeps on one side and one on the other, and they each weigh 100 pounds.
Beer.
I don't drink. I had to retire from that.
Fried foods.
I quit. I don't eat fried food either, but I do love French fries.
TV show.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of anything Oprah does.
If you weren't doing a Rob on the Road, what would you do?
An episode?
Any other kind of career?
Oh, what would I do besides Rob on the Road?
Yeah.
I would like to be like a motivational speaker and author.
Interesting. Okay. And how many times do people make the mistake and think that you're Rod Stewart?
I've been to doctor's appointments where the entire staff is in the lobby and they're incredibly disappointed. And I say, you actually think you would know, you wouldn't know if Rod Stewart was coming here? And they, people really... You know, I mean, if I had a dollar for every time someone said Rod Stewart, I'd be a millionaire.
So after 9 years, you still get obviously very excited about doing this program. I mean,
I love it.
Kind of written on your face. So what's coming up? Rob, have you done anything lately that you
I have
bragging
we are
about?
Heavily shooting right now, and we just did. We've got two shows right now that we are in production on. We've shot both of them. We did Calaveras County. It was so much fun to go to Calaveras, Big Tree State Park.
Isn't that a great place?
It's so beautiful, and it's like an hour and a half from Sacramento.
They had some storm damage up there last year.
Oh, they did. And in fact, we went to the Pioneer Cabin Tree that fell. The tree was estimated at about 2,000 years old, and it has had pictures taken in front of it since the get-go, right? And then it was carved out in 1851 for people to be able to go through it.
Are they leaving it there so you can still go and take a picture of it?
You can, and here's the trick. If you go to the North Grove and you go to the left on the trail, you can go right to the fallen tree. If you go the right way, to the right, you have to go all the way around, which is about a mile, to get to the tree, and then you have to come back. So my suggestion is, if you want to do the tree, go see that, and then go around the other way and stop when you want. It's so moving to see the tree. I have to tell you, I wasn't expecting to be so sad, but it made me really sad when I saw it. However, it was also symbolic to me because it was surrounded by trees that were thriving, and I thought, you know, we all fall down, right? But this this showed how, no matter what, you can get back up.
Well, sequoia trees are the most amazing things.
They are, and they're surrounded by new ones, and they call them families. And the tree, you ask what they're going to do with it. The tree will be, the front part of it where people walked through will be turned into an exhibit, and then the rest they'll let decay to populate new trees.
Wow. So what else is coming up?
Well, we have another show. It's called Sacramento's Historic Downtown. Who knew there's so much stuff right in your own backyard? By the way, that we as taxpayers own, Capitol Park is actually called the People's Park. It is the fifth most entered location in California.
Wow.
Capitol Park. And it is, there's so much to do there, more than 1,000 trees from all over the world. The Rose Garden. We also did, as I mentioned, Sutter's Fort. Who knew that opened in 1839? It predated California.
Well,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And it was the hub.
Well, see, he didn't grow up here.
I lived here 9 years and never went in there, and it was fascinating to me.
If you went to school here, if you'd been an elementary school student, you know, like Tom and I, if you were in the fourth grade when you did California history, your field trip was to Sutter's Fort and the Indian Museum. Was that not right, Tom?
There you go.
And you were in Modesto, right?
Right.
And I was here in Sacramento, and we both went on the same field.
Well, the day we were there was Los Angeles and San Diego students there. It's the whole state.
Well, yeah, because you can cover you can get the pony, if you bring kids in from out of town in one day, you can do Sutter's Fort and the Transcontinental Railroad and Pony Express. So you can get a pretty good history lesson right here. And then a lot of those kids will probably never come back to Sacramento ever again.
I have one thing to say about that. When we were at Calaveras County, the ranger said to me at the very end of the interview, as we talked earlier about tell me your story, I asked him to tell me his story. He said, the whole reason we have recreation is to recreate ourselves. And if you find in any area of recreation, you can find a way to recreate how you feel. And I loved that. I'd never heard that before.
Wow. Our guest on the Travel Guys is Rob Stewart from KVIE. Rob, on the road, we still have those two pairs of tickets to the Sacramento Music Festival that we are going to give away here in just a couple seconds as we go off the air. Rob, I want to ask you one other thing. You obviously have a passion for public television, excuse me.
Both.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of goes hand in hand. Our company has been a longtime underwriter at KVIE, so we really believe in the mission of public television. What is it that makes public television, what is it that makes it special? You work there, you work around all these folks. There's not a lot of money. There's not a lot of, you know, they don't have a lot of flash and pizzazz and stuff. People generally have to work hard on a regular basis to get things done. Otherwise, it doesn't work. What makes public television and maybe perhaps KVIE special?
I've been in public television for 14 years. There was 5 years before KVIE in Philadelphia at WHYY. And I have to tell you that there is an area for truth in PBS. There is an area for unbiased, unslanted stories. We let people think for themselves. We just tell them what's going on. What I also love is I have a personal litmus test for what I do for my work. It has to inspire, educate, and entertain and inform. And if it doesn't do it, I don't really want to be involved. So that's why I love and stay with PBS. It's because it's a place where we're not PBS. It's, you know, the public broadcasting service. People think it's a station, but it's a service. And it's so interesting how people have been stopping me lately and saying, we love the service that PBS provides. And with all the talk we've been hearing in the news about PBS, people have been reaching out so much.
Wow, that's really cool. I agree with you, perhaps for slightly different reasons, but PBS is a really important, it brings us things that we can't get other places.
And I'm glad you have a different reason because it's the public, it's a public service.
Exactly, everybody should have a slightly different reason
Correct.
For watching.
And because we welcome all.
We have some tickets we have to give away here before we wrap this up. We have two sets.
Two pair for the Sacramento Music Festival. It's next Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
So these are all event passes. These are worth $50, $75, $100, something like that.
I would assume they are.
Yes, they are. I know we had the interview last week, but we didn't have the tickets. Now we have the tickets, not the interview. Okay, so how do you get these tickets? You call us. You be the
fifth and sixth caller.
Okay.
Number five and number six.
At 921-1530 and 800-834-1530. 921-1530, 800-834-1530. And remember, Luis is by himself in the control room in there, so it might take him a couple minutes to get to call five or six. So if you are ringing, hang in there. We should and enjoy the music festival. You have to be able to pick the tickets up at KFBK starting Tuesday, so make sure you have transportation to get here to get the tickets. That's how you get them if you win. We should take a moment here and thank Rob Stewart for an hour of his time on Sunday afternoon. Thank you, my friend.
Anytime. I'm less than a mile away where I live.
Well, we should make this a regular thing.
I drive hours to you, though.
We really appreciate having you here. It has been fascinating to hear a little bit about KVIE and about a radio show that's produced locally here every week.
I love
We always tell people that, you know, when you run into them, they say they listen to the radio show, and we say, well, we'll see you on the radio, and Rob, we'll see you on TV.
Okay, Mark, and I'll see you.
And remember to dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. See you next time. 3 o'clock, Travel Guys.